Father in heaven, I ask you, Lord, now to prepare our hearts to receive this word that you've laid in my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How do you respond when God doesn't answer your prayers? Has your faith ever wavered? Have you ever had a lapse of faith? Does your faith waver if he doesn't provide what you've requested in that time and manner that you had expected? It's happened in my life. The book of James tackles this issue of doubting by first addressing God's purpose for our trials. He said, and if you're there, consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter these various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You see, sometimes God doesn't immediately give relief that we want or maybe desire. In fact, he may be using the particular trial in your life to produce something good in you. But you're not thinking it's so good. In fact, you're thinking that it's really bad and you're wondering what's happened, but God's actually working in your life, so let him work. Let him do what he has to do. And so then James goes on to tell us what to do, verses 4 through 8. Let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete. Now, we'll never be what? Perfect? Only Jesus was perfect. But perfect in the extent of being mature. Being mature. No longer being a child, being mature. Put away those childish things, as the scripture says. Perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all generously and without reproach, it'll be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Double-minded. It's like saying, Lord, now I know that you can answer all of my problems. You can take care of every situation in my life, but I don't know that you're going to do it for me. Why would you do it for me? I don't deserve it. We have to remember that God has forgiven us of our sins. He's forgiven us. Have you forgiven yourself? When David mentioned in the scriptures that his sin was ever before him, when I first read that, I didn't quite understand that because I thought God forgave him of what he did. And I couldn't understand why David said, my sin is always before me. And then I realized it was like a light came on. It was David's memory of what he did. He remembered that what he did was very evil. And that's why he said his sin was always before him, because he had the memory of it, of hurting God and doing this terrible thing. He had the memory of it. God forgave him, but he carried that memory of it throughout his life. And sometimes it's memory's good. It certainly, I think, can keep us humble. Unless we get a big head on ourselves and think that we're not capable of the bad things. We read that and see it in the scriptures, and we think we're not capable of that. Oh, we're all capable of that and much more. And so being double-minded is like not expecting God to answer for you. You know he can, but you're not expecting him to come through for you. When we ask, we may have many times want things done immediately. Wow, is that a surprise to any of us? We're living in a time where everything is so instant, so fast, so sometimes we want our prayer life to be the same way. We want God to answer us now. Now. I want this now. Please take this away from me now. And if we don't get it right away, let me make sure that you know that he does care. His purposes are always according to his timing. We sing that song about timing, in his time. It's important that God can do this in his timing, not ours. Our timing's a mess. God's timing isn't good, it's perfect. Did you catch that? His timing is perfect. It's better than good. It's perfect. And that's why we need to seek him, because his timing is always best for us. It may come in a different way that we've asked. It may come at a later date than we had expected, but we must wait and trust him, even when we don't see any evidence of the answer. Now, there's where our faith begins to waver, when we trust God, but we don't see no evidences of it working. I just don't see God working. Would you remember the story in the Old Testament of Elijah and his servant? Of Elisha, Elisha in 2 Kings. Syrians were gathering a great force coming against Israel. And the servant said, what are we going to do with such great of army that's come against Israel? And Elisha said, Lord, let my servant see what we're going to do. Open his eyes and give him spiritual vision. And what did he see? He seen chariots and horses all across the mountains. They were God's army. He was allowed to see God's army. What a difference when we have that eyesight. Wow. James says, if you're with me now in verse 6, when we doubt the Lord, we're like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. One minute, we're confidently, we're trusting God, and the next moment, we're wondering if he's going to answer any prayer at all. Perhaps we'll only believe if he just gives us a little encouragement. We just need a little encouragement along the way. Sometimes we fuss and argue with the Lord, huh? Does that hit anybody? That hit me square in the face. Sometimes we fuss and argue with the Lord, thinking it will motivate him to answer sooner. You know, do you ever have any children that cause a little hissy fit when they didn't get what they want? You know, adults do the same thing. You think they're not childish? Adults do the same thing. Not much difference. Paul said we're to stop being kids, but sometimes we're still kids. We still have a hissy fit. We just have a little hissy fit when we don't get what we want. So I guess we're still children. He's got to treat us like children. Sometimes we fuss and argue. We think that's going to motivate. But I can tell you that our doubts simply reveal that we are very impatient. That's what it reveals. We don't know God's will, or maybe perhaps we're not ready to receive his answer. And I heard it in Debbie's testimony. Sometimes we don't like what we hear. Sometimes we don't like that. But God's always right. He's always right. He don't make any mistakes. We do. God doesn't. Whenever God delays in responding to our petitions, he's teaching us to trust and believe him, not because we see the answer, but because he's promised to hear and answer our prayers. Always remember that God's delays are not his denials. His delays are not his denials. He's not denying you. He's just delaying for a spell. He's just delaying it for a spell. Remember when he got word that his friend Lazarus was sick? What did Jesus do? Did he get his disciples and leave upon hearing the message immediately? He did not. Instead, he tarried. Do you remember the first thing that Martha said to him when he did arrive? What did she say? Now, if you would have just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Martha said, I know that he'll resurrect in the resurrection. Jesus looked at her and said, Martha, I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he are dead, he will live. And for that reason, Jesus delayed so that Lazarus would die. On purpose, Jesus allowed him to die. You see, his delays were not denials. Think about that. You're getting impatient with God? Let God do his work. You don't need to wrestle and get impatient. You don't need to worry. When God's in control, there's no reason for you to worry. So stop it. Stop it. God's in control. What causes our faith to waver? Well, there's several things. We choose to rely on our feelings rather than on the Word of God. I'm glad that is never the case, that we need to trust God on his promises and not on our feelings. Because how many times have you not ever felt very good? It's good you don't go in your feelings. Because sometimes when you get up in the morning on Sunday morning, you don't really feel like wanting to come to church. Let's sleep for a couple more hours. You know what I mean? So I'm glad life isn't based on our feelings. It's based on the fact of God's word. That's what it's based on. Because you see, our feelings are like the roller coaster. That's just the way it is. In life, you'll find that your feelings are like a roller coaster. Sometimes you're feeling great, and sometimes you're not feeling so great. Sometimes you're angry. Sometimes you're just moody. Did anybody ever say you were moody? Oh, brother. And you know, some people seem to be on a level keel. But then there's some that are really, wow. Okay? So if we rely on our feelings rather than God's word, that can be a problem. You see, we shift our focus from the promises in God's word to feelings. So then that affects our faith. Our faith becomes unstable. But if our faith is grounded in God's word, we never have to question what God says because we are standing on his truth. And this is what God's word says. Now, I haven't seen it happening yet in my life, but we need to be patient and let God work. Let him work. You'll reap. You'll reap if you faint not. So just hang in there and be patient. Now, that's a lot easier said than done, I can tell you that. I'm preaching to myself. Well, then we yield to reason rather than believing God. Human reasoning and faith aren't always compatible when we're trying to reason things out, trying to figure it out. Why did this happen? So we begin to reasoning. Why did it happen? We have all kinds of good reasons for making requests to God. But I can tell you, he sees more of the situation than we do. He has a better outlook than we do. And if the Lord delays an answer, and he has a reason that I can tell you is good, it is legitimate, and you'll find it'll be very helpful. Thirdly, we fail to see God at work in our circumstances. If the Lord doesn't change our circumstances, it's because he's using them to bring us to maturity. His purpose is not to give us everything we desire. You want to spoil a child? Give them everything they want. Good way to spoil a child. Just give them everything they want. You ever been around any spoiled children? I have. They're downright brats. They're brats. Sorry, but that's just the only way to say it. And pity the man they get for their husband. Woo, baby. He's headed for a dandy. And it happens both ways, by the way. Both sexes, it works both ways. So don't give. Our Heavenly Father doesn't give us everything we desire. He wants to shape us into the image of His Son. He knows the perfect way to accomplish this. And so we, knowing that He has this good purpose in mind, that everything He does is good and perfect, it frees us from worry and doubt. It should free you. But sometimes we have that inclination to still cling to our worry and doubt. But knowing this should erase worry and doubt, should get rid of it. Because we know God's working, and what He's doing is good. And we need to relax and wait patiently for the Lord to accomplish what He desires in our lives. And the scripture says in another place, He gives us peace that passes what? All understanding. Listen, if you can't reason it and you can't figure it out, it's okay. Just let God work. Just let Him work. You'll be amazed at what He can accomplish if you'll just stay out of it. Keep your nose out of it. Just keep your nose in God's word. Keep your relationship going in prayer. Keep that going. Fourthly, we listen, here's a good one, to the negative counsel of others. The negative counsel to others. Have any of you ever been made aware that there's some people that are totally negative? Oh, yeah, they're absolutely, totally negative. And when you're around them, what positive you have, they even draw that out of you. They're that negative. They could find problems with the sunshine. Hello. Yeah, they could. Yeah, it's too bright. It's too hot. You'll find problems with the rain. Rained too hard last night. It rained too slow. They're 100% negative. I don't want to be around them. Do you? Neither do I. Sometimes those around us discourage us from persevering in prayer. It appears useless from their point of view. And so they reason that since God hasn't answered, there must be something wrong with your request. Remember Job's friends. And we should just stop praying about it. Really? That's why it's wise to keep some of your prayer requests between you and the Lord. You listening to me? Sometimes it's wise to keep some of your prayer requests just between you and the Lord. Fifthly, we focus on the circumstances rather than on God. That goes with number three. If He doesn't intervene according to our time schedule, it's because He's working on us to build and strengthen our relationship with Him. Sixthly, we are ignorant of God's ways. Now that should hit many of us. When we understand more about God's ways, we will become more patient. The more you study the Bible and read it and understand, you'll find people in there are going through the same things that you're going through. It gives you an understanding of how God works. And when you have that understanding, it should make you more patient when your answer seems to be delayed, because you know that He gives, and what He gives is best. Just at the right time. But if we're ignorant of the way God works, will react with anger, blame, and accusations. Boy, I've been there. I know. I did that very thing to God. There was a time I thought I wanted to sell my house, and I just wanted to sell it in a bad way. I just wanted to get rid of it. Couldn't get nobody to bite on it because God didn't want nobody biting on it because it ended up being a place for my mother-in-law to live. And she loved it there. And after I seen what God was doing in providing a place for her to live, I was very much ashamed. Why did I get angry? God had my best in mind. It isn't our timing. It's always His timing, not yours. I had to learn that. And I hope I have learned it and learned it well. I hope I've gotten more patience since the last time because I need a lot of it. We carry guilt, lastly, over present or past sins. Sometimes, instead of looking forward and trusting God, we spend too much time looking back at our sins, forgetting what He has forgiven us of. We forget, God's forgiven me of that. The devil keeps casting it up to me. In my thoughts, he keeps casting it up to me. But God's forgiven me. And we need to know that God's forgiven it. Because then we'll doubt that God will come through and answer our prayers since we think we're undeserving. So how do we correct our wavering faith? We begin by asking ourselves these questions. First of all, where are these doubts coming from? Are we currently living in sin? Now, Pastor, we all do things that God doesn't like and sinful. I'm talking about living in a relationship that's sinful. It's a sinful relationship you're living in. And if you find that that's what you're doing, you're living in a sinful relationship, you can expect confusion and doubts to arise. It's just the way it is. You need to get the horse in front of the cart and get headed in the right direction. Did God promise to meet your needs? Yes, He did. But we need to learn to distinguish between our needs and our greeds. Some of which will certainly can be in conflict with His word. Did God not promise to be with you all the time? Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor what? Forsake you. His presence is with us. It's a fact that does not depend on our feelings. Have you come to a fork in the road in your life right now? Are you at a fork in the road of your life? Your faith will waver if you're not living in God's word. Are you living in God's word? Are you reading it as much as you can? You should be. You may not always understand what you're reading, but I can assure you if you keep patient at it, you eventually God will speak to you and He'll explain that passage of scripture to you. And you'll understand it better than you've ever understood it before. The Bible is our spiritual compass to guide us. And I can tell you, it will never lead us the wrong way. And lastly, Did God not give you the greatest gift of all, the indwelling Holy Spirit? He is our guide. He is our helper. He is our source of strength who empowers and gives us security in knowing that he loves us and he cares for us and he has our best in mind. So what causes your faith to waver? Is it feelings? Is it the circumstance that you find yourself in? Are you willing to avail yourself to him? Are you willing to ask him to help you? God has answered many of my prayers, and he did so in many unexpected ways. And he did so at a much later date than what I had expected, but he answered them. Not exactly when I wanted him to, but he answered them. In fact, he did a better job than what I could have ever tried to do. So why won't you wait on him today? Why don't you trust him? Let him work in your life. Let him do it in his timing, not yours. God's ways are higher than our ways. So when your faith begins to wobble, look to him. Look to him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He loves you so much. He wants the best for your life. He wants the best for you. He loves you. Let him work in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, the message spoke to me. Would you pray with me? I'll pray with all of you. Put your hands up. There's men are just going up everywhere. They're all going up everywhere. I got mine up. I'm going to pray with you. Father in heaven, Father, this message has spoke to my heart, and I know it's spoken to many that are here today. I pray, Lord, right now that you'd help us to be patient. Help us to be patient when we're waiting on you. I'm not good at waiting. But I know, Lord, that if I'm willing to wait, you have a better plan in mind than what mine is. Help me. Increase my faith. Strengthen me, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit refresh me. Let the Holy Spirit refresh each and every one that's here today. As this message spoke to my heart, it spoke to their hearts as well. Lord, you've seen their hands, and I pray that you'll help them with their faith. Help them with their Christian walk. Help them, Lord. Help them when they open your word and they begin to read that you'll speak to their heart. Help them, Lord, to see something in this passage that they have never seen before. Or maybe they've read it many times before and they didn't understand it. And now they understand exactly what it's saying. Father, I pray that's the case in their life. Give them a love for your word. Let them spend as much time, Father, as they can in your word, learning your ways, learning your ways. So, Lord, that when we see you work, we're familiar with how you're working. And we don't need to worry. We don't need to fret because, Lord, you're in charge. It's your planning, your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time.